Steve Sippel.
Hut, hut, hike!
The conversation gets even more uncomfortable, okay?
Omaha!
Steve Sippel on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.
And we welcome in Steve Sippel to 1620 The Zone for the third time in 24 hours. Sippel, good afternoon. How are you?
What are you talking? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got all bunched up at the end of the week.
Well, because you tried to fight Josh on air.
I did not try to fight Josh on air or anywhere else.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to clear the air on that one. I wasn't around last week. Oh, I just heard about it from multiple people.
Did you hear it? Was it that? Was I that obtuse?
No, it wasn't. It was more about. It was less about you and more just about the conversation. You know, you guys were going back. Hey, did you hear Sippel and Josh's back and forth? You know, I didn't think. Nobody gave me the sense that either one of you got the leg up on each other in the battle.
No, I mean, I think I acted poorly. I don't think Josh did. I think you know how I am. I'm a little bipolar. He just caught me in a bad moment, so we moved on, and it seems like everything's okay.
It is. I've been dying to ask you this question all week because it was posed to us by a listener. If Patrick Mahomes was a horse, do you think they would have allowed him to play in the AFC Championship game with his ankle injury?
Ooh, would they have allowed him to run in a race? No. No way. Nope. They wouldn't have shot him or anything like that. But he would not have been allowed to race.
That was the real Steve Sippel. Now let's see how close our fake Steve Sippel was to predicting his answer.
Hey, Sippel.
Hey.
Hey. If Patrick Mahomes was a horse, do you think they would have allowed him to play in the AFC Championship game with his ankle injury?
Oh, Hap. Sometimes you ask me real good questions, the stuff that really makes you think, Patrick Mahomes was a horse. You know, hey, Hap, I have a fair amount of experience with horses back from my days in Columbus out at the track. I would go out there and really just sit out there all day, talk to the people, maybe even talk to the horses every once in a while and just get their take on how they're feeling. You really grow a relationship with the horses over a long period of time. So I got to know them pretty well. And I'll tell you this, Hap. Those owners, it's big money now. So those owners, they're not going to jeopardize their investment on the horse. So I'd say, depending on the magnitude of the race, it would probably be a situation where they wouldn't let him run. But hey, Hap, that's a great question. It's something to really think about, and it gets you thinking about athletes and what they put their bodies through to play a game. And I gotta say, it's impressive. It's impressive what he did. Now, I'm not a huge NFL guy, but I was impressed. I continue to be impressed by young Patrick Mahomes. That was incredible. That was, Happer, that's uncomfortable. Okay. That's so good, it's uncomfortable.
What? That wasn't me. That was fake. That was fake Steve Sippel that we have on retainer.
When you what? That wasn't me. Wait a second. Now, when you start throwing nows at the end of sentences, that's really.
Wait, what? What did you say?
When you start throwing nows at the end of sentences,
it's the nuances. It's or as you would say, the nuances. It's the nuances.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. The nows really got me.
Yeah. Now, listen. Yeah. One of those. But you have some experience around the horses, right? I don't know. I'm not pulling that out of nowhere.
That's the one part that I kind of took issue with was you said I went to the track and just sat there. I worked there. I didn't just go out there and sit.
What'd you do at the track?
I was a hot walker, and I worked for a trainer named Dan Coughlin. And I, you know, muck stalled, you know, fed horses. This was a kind of a barn worker. And I did it. I did it in Columbus. I also did it in Lincoln. When I was going to school, I'd go out there in the mornings before classes and do it then. Just make a little extra money.
Okay. So, I was right that you had some experience. I just didn't know what the experience was.
I just didn't sit at the track.
I thought you were out there talking to the horses, getting familiar with them. You know, I don't know.
Well, you definitely, anybody's around you talk to them. For sure. But that was good. That was the best. I think that might have been the best imitation you've ever done.
Okay. All right. Right up there.
It wasn't. It's scary when I'm listening to it because I think, God, did I say this stuff?
No, we didn't record you. We didn't record you actually answering that question before you answered it. We take a shot in the dark.
Yeah, you got it down. That was the best one ever.
Hey, you had a good long conversation with Matt Rhule, the head coach of the Huskers yesterday. He's now been here for a couple months now, and they've gone through a short recruiting cycle, and he's talked a little bit, and he's gotten a little bit more comfortable. I think my big takeaway from Wednesday when he talked on signing day is the idea that there's so many people on this roster, but he didn't seem like, I think people like to ring the alarm bells about how many scholarship players they have. They don't like seem to be concerned other than we got a lot of guys here. We're going to see how it works out. Like there's no guarantees with anybody. It seems like on the roster right now, that's the way that they're sort of playing it.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's usually like that when a new coaching staff comes in. You know, there's always that. You know, you often hear the term clean slate. Everybody's got a clean slate, and everybody's got a clean slate over there, I think, right now. For the most part, you think Quentin Newsom feels like his job's in jeopardy? I doubt it. I think Luke Reimer really feels that way, that they brought someone in to replace him. I don't see it. You could go up. You can name a lot of players that I don't see someone that they brought in that would threaten his job if you really get down to it. But they did bring in a lot of players. Now a lot of those freshmen aren't going to play. They might three or four of those guys, the two incoming freshmen, might play. But they don't. As far as being concerned about having 103 scholarship players and needing to drop 18. He doesn't seem concerned. He glossed over it, in fact, Coach Rhule, and I get it. He just said with the new rules in college football, all he said was with the new rules in college football, he didn't say it's not a big deal, but that was sort of that was the tenor of the conversation.
Yeah.
And he's right. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do here, and some guys are going to leave on their own. Some guys are going to take that. You know, in college football now, when there's a coaching change, there's an early retirement package that's available to guys. Some will take that. Some will move on their own. And they'll suggest that some guys move on too, probably.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I agree with you. It didn't seem like there was much concern there, and he talked about the things that they can sort of do to work around it. And I thought that was sort of interesting in the way they play. There was another thing that sort of stuck out, and he talked, and I think everybody's been impressed with their sort of effort and presence on the recruiting trail. And Rhule was sort of like, yeah, well, we're just kind of doing our jobs. And then he also talked about, players, the team, everybody, coaches, talking to people, sticking around. And we're not talking about team chemistry here, but I do think – there, it goes back to recruiting in this way. There's been this sort of sense for a while in the program of like entitlement. I talked about this a couple days ago, but the sense of in recruiting, you walk into a school, you in the state of Nebraska, you have the N on your chest, and, you know, people are react a certain way, even though Nebraska hasn't had much success lately. And I think that sort of, you know, that's something he wants to sort of get rid of a little bit, or is sort of working on. And it's active, right? It's present in what they're sort of attempting to do right now. And it's less talk about football and what we're going to do in football. And it's more about how we interact with each other, how we interact with the athletic department, and how we interact with the state.
Yeah. He's very people oriented, and he's oriented that way with his players. I mean, for instance, with Xavier Betts, he doesn't begin to answer the questions about Xavier Betts with his 40 time or his catch radius. It's what, how can we help Xavier Betts? I just use him as an example because he's been brought up a lot. How do we help Xavier Betts as a human? You know, how do we help Eric Gilbert as a human being? That's his. I think he's very genuine in that. And it's not just with players; it is with staff members. It seems with everybody. You know what it is? A lot of it, you can just kind of boil it down to this: Happer. I think they just hired a good guy. You know, I think he's a pretty good guy. I think he's a straight shooter. I know he's the man. I know that.
Yes.
There's some coaches that are listening to this. There's some coaches or some people maybe even that work for him that say he's not that good of a guy. I don't know that, but I've heard from people in the industry he's demanding. He's really demanding. And those, when you're that demanding, sometimes your popularity suffers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, being like, I bet you could find people who don't like it, because you can find people who don't like anybody, you know. Or you can find any, let's put it this way, just with anybody, you can find people who don't like you, right? But with Rule, I bet a lot of people respect him. That even if they don't like him, my guess is they respect him. He strikes me as a guy that's hard not to respect.
Yeah.
It's come across to Nebraskans, I think, really quickly. I think it's come across to Nebraska fans all over the place really quickly that he's just a good guy. They got a good guy. He's very thoughtful. I think he thinks really fast on his feet. You can tell in his interviews he can cover a lot of ground in about three sentences, which, God, I should probably take some notes on that. But anyway, good picture so far. Really good picture.
Well, he's demanding of his coaches. We've heard that. I also think he's really particular about his plan and his vision, not just in the results of it, but what they have to do to get there on a day-to-day basis, and how, you know, that goes back to people, that goes back to, you know, eventually it will become about football, and he's very particular about that type of thing too. Basically, you boil it down to simple, I think, you know, there's that guy who's in charge. And I think we've spent a lot of time around here over the past years, you know, sort of asking, like, who are these coaches on the same page, or who's in charge here? And, you know, questions like that. And I just don't think that's one thing that will probably never be a question under Matt Rhule.
That's a good point. I think he is careful in that regard. And who he hires. Not that he's just hiring a bunch of yes men and guys that just fall into line easily. I don't think it's that. The guys who work are mindful of what you just said. The messages are pretty defined, and I think the word particular is really good. And by the way, isn't it interesting? God, as we talk, and we've done a lot of this, in recent days with Rhule, it would just be so odd to be a Nebraska football coach, how much you're analyzed. I mean, if he's listening to these shows, it's got to freak him out. It does. I mean, I like picture him listening and go, my God, these guys, and we do it. I mean, we all do it. We do it on our shows here in Lincoln. You guys do it. There's this big analysis of him right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be in those shoes, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I put myself in those shoes occasionally. I'm like, how do these guys talk about this 365 days a year? They're insane.
And they analyze.
And the answer is yes, we are insane. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, particularly the way we analyze the head coach.
Yeah.
But I think they generally, know what they're getting into. Although I've talked to a couple coaches during that whole, the whole coaching search thing. There's a few that were like, I don't know if I'd want to be in that. I don't know that I'd want that scrutiny all the time. The constant. So it's, that rule doesn't seem to mind. But we haven't played a game yet, so we'll see how all that goes.
You asked him on your chat yesterday about the quarterback situation. I think that's going to be the next thing up that people, that we're going to turn our attention to here. We'll get away maybe from analyzing, or not get away from it, but turn our attention from analyzing Matt Rhule and what he's about to the quarterback. And the difficult part about the spring that we have upcoming with all the competition is you're not going to see a couple of those guys, and especially Casey Thompson, who's going to be involved in it. What's your sense on where Matt Rhule is at? And we've hit various checkpoints on this over the last, couple months here, and just where we think the coaching staff is at on the quarterback situation. But you asked about it again yesterday. Where do you think Rhule's at on that thing as we set up for a really important spring ball?
He's pretty much where you'd expect. He used that term, clean slate, as it applies to the quarterback situation. He clearly likes the group, six scholarship quarterbacks. But he did say, there is a clean slate now. He said he thinks Casey's an excellent player. But he said it's not about what anybody's done in the past. It's about what they do going forward. So it's all about with Rhule what's happening moving forward. So Casey would hear that. And my guess is Casey would be just fine with it, because the guys that don't mind clean slate are talented players. When they hear clean slate, they don't hear, oh, my job's in jeopardy. It's, oh, I'm just going to go win the job. I bet Casey's just like that. I kind of bet that because I talked to his dad about it, Charles Thompson. They knew they were bringing in, the Nebraska coaches were bringing in Jeff Sims, and the reaction was, yeah, we're fine. Bring it on. Competition, we'll be the starter.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Rhule did address Casey really for the first time in any significant way. He hadn't talked much about Casey, but he said yesterday, that he watched Casey play and thought he played really, really well last season, that he's making key throws at key times, used the word elite, in describing his timing in the passing game, and just said he's just got to get healthy. And that's right. That's what it is. I guess the most interesting thing happened would be one of those other guys besides Sims or Thompson jump into that. That just remains to be seen.
Yeah. It does. The room is crowded. There's six scholarship quarterbacks right now. How many do you think there will be on April 15th?
Five. But I don't know who would leave. I don't think there'll be a mass exodus from that room. Logan Smothers really likes it here. Now he's not going to be involved in the spring because of the shoulder, but I know he likes it here. I don't know that he would bold out. Maybe, I don't know. It's just speculation. I just don't foresee a bunch of them leaving, but you would think at least one would.
Yeah.
I've heard people say three. I guess it could happen. I don't anticipate that, but because of the guys you're talking about, Logan likes it here a lot. Chuba has already, he's been at two. He's been at Florida State, now Nebraska. He want to go to a third place. That's kind of hard to say. And of course, some of it's impacted by Dylan Raiola. if Dylan Raiola were to commit to Nebraska in March, that would change the conversation, and I would go heavier than one.
Yeah, it does. That changes the picture pretty quick. Simple, appreciate it as always, man. Thanks for taking the time. Have a good weekend.
All right, take care, guys.
Steve Simple from Husker Online on three. We'll come back with Brian Christofferson of Husker 24/7. We'll talk similar, right? Husker football. Next with BC on 1620 The Zone. But first, it's the 5K giveaway on 1620 The Zone. $5,000. How about that to kick off your 2023? And find the details and enter online right now at 1620thezone.com.